Please be seated. Today's scripture reading is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 21, verse 25 through 36. Today's gospel reading for this first Sunday of Advent is frankly quite surprising and not very heartwarming. Instead of angels appearing to say, "Do not be afraid," or hopeful ancient prophecies of God's comfort and renewed divine presence, we are reading about the end of time, God's judgment on the earth. Jesus describes the total collapse of the present world order and the establishment of God's realm. It all started when the disciples were sitting with Jesus in the Holy Temple. Some passersby were overheard admiring the architectural magnificence and structural integrity of the temple. Jesus then tells them, "Not one stone will be left sitting upon another. It will all be broken." The disciples must have been quite surprised by this doomsday response. So they ask, "When? When will these things be? And what will be the sign when it's about to happen?" Jesus then goes on for 20 verses, painting a picture of a world gone mad, plagued with violence, wars, famine, and powerful natural disasters. He says that followers of Jesus in particular will be hated, persecuted, and even put on trial for their faith. It is a miserable forewarning. And only then, God says, will God intervene. And now from the Gospel of Luke, hear the prophetic teachings of Jesus, who said, "There will be signs in the sun and the moon and in stars, and on the earth, fear among the nations, and doubt because of the loud noise of the sea and the waves. Men's strength will go from them in fear and in waiting for things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven will be moved. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things come about, let your heads be lifted up, because your salvation is near." And then he told them a parable. "See the fig trees and all the trees. When they put on their young leaves, you take note of it, and it is clear to you that summer is coming. In the same way, when you see these things taking place, you may be certain that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not come to an end till all these things are complete. Heaven and earth will come to an end, but my words will not come to an end. But give attention to yourselves, for fear that your hearts become overfull of the pleasures of food and wine and the cares of life. That day may come on you suddenly and take you as in a net. For so it will come on all those who are living on the face of the earth. But keep watch at all time with prayer, that you may be strong enough to come through all these things and take your place before the Son of Man." The word of God for the people of God.
Welcome to the apocalypse. Wow. Today is Advent 1, as we've been saying. And for the Christians who follow the liturgical calendar, this is the scripture that's offered for us to talk about today. So, Happy New Year. It's also the first day of the new church year. We did have some discussion earlier in the week about putting champagne in our communion cups, but we thought better of it. That was inappropriate. We can't really check IDs. So, more to the point, we wouldn't put champagne in there because the first Sunday in Advent is really not a celebration. Advent begins in the shadows of despair. It begins with wars and sorrow and hate. This story opens to find us wandering blindly in the cold darkness of uncertainty. So let us begin with prayer to be able to see in the dark. Guiding God, without the presence of your Holy Spirit, we are hopelessly lost on this Advent journey. Come to us in this place as we gather to hear your word. Open our hearts to receive your word. Open our minds to understand it. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. You might find it odd, but I think it's great that the story of God begins with Jesus' ominous warnings about chaos and destruction. I like it because we begin in a place that we're all quite familiar with. We can debate the existence of God, the virgin birth, the divinity of Jesus. We can debate theology day in and day out, but no one can argue against the existence of evil. Much of what Jesus is talking about in these scriptures reads as if it had been ripped from the news cycle for today, or pulled off a Twitter feed, or shared on your Facebook post. There is great fear among the nations. The sea and the waves are ravaging coastlines. Many of us are living in this dread, as Jesus said, it's a dread. Scripture says he were waiting for the things which are coming to the earth. These things such as climate change, global warming, things like wildfires, earthquakes, hurricanes, volcano eruptions, shootings and terrorism invade even our most sacred spaces. And we are left so disoriented. Even the sun and the moon and the stars look out of whack. We live in fear of what is coming next. I know some of us go on self-imposed news blackouts just to keep our sanity, right? Today we begin our journey from this darkness. We look toward a light. We do this by admitting that our world, our culture, our society, and even our own lives are not as it should be. We live in a broken world in need of healing. And yet embedded in all of this darkness, embedded in this apocalyptic sermon that Jesus preaches, we discover precisely where Advent hope is kindled. I think many of us think of the apocalypse kind of like an epic studio picture starring Denzel Washington and Angelina Jolie, scored by John Williams, big epic film, opening Christmas Day, the apocalypse. Who knows how that movie would end? But in the Bible, apocalyptic literature always, always, always ends with a divine rescue. And I don't mean Denzel and Angelina save the day. This is God's rescue and the dawn of an entirely new era of justice and redemption. The Greek word, in fact, for apocalyptic actually means to uncover, to reveal. God is pulling aside this mystical veil just for a moment to reveal what we already know really exists. We know what is already there. The Me Too movement was like that. We knew it was already there, but it was exposed. What was already there in the Charlottesville protest, exposed, but was already there. But we also get a glimpse of what has already been deployed against the forces of evil and disorder. Spoiler alert, at the moment when all seems lost and the evil empire appears to have the upper hand, God will swoop in like Han Solo in the final scene. Evil will be annihilated, and all those under the boot of oppression will be liberated by a God that is only good. It's like my professor of Hebrew scripture, Greg Mobley, who will be preaching at 3 today. He always used to say, love will eventually win out, but it will be in triple overtime at the buzzer. Truth. Jesus said, at the point when you see all these things taking place, and evil and hatred and terror appear to have the upper hand, then, that's the magic word in this scripture, then will the Son of Man come in a cloud with power and great glory. So when these things come about, let your heads be lifted up, because your salvation is near. What God reveals to us and wants us to know, that even now, God is on the way. Aslan is on the move. The dominant powers of today are not the ultimate powers. Empires will fall. Tyrants will be toppled. Hatred will be vanquished. Conflicts will resolve. Refugees will find a home. The work is not finished yet. It's not yet done. And we have to admit that. We live in this tension of what we see all around us and what our faith proclaims. It's kind of called the already and the not yet. Yet we are compelled as a community of faith to continue on to honor God in service and in mission. And knowing this ultimate truth, knowing that God is on the move, is how we can begin to see in the darkness. The advent of hope gives us like night vision to see our way through to a brighter day that's on the way. And we are awakened to that deeper truth. We are alert, watching and waiting in heightened anticipation of what is coming, of the inevitable coming of our victorious God of grace. Advent proclaims the good news of the gospel. Our God is on the move. So even now, let our heads be lifted up. Salvation is near. Even now, let us light these candles in defiance against the darkness of despair, sorrow, grief, and hate. Even now, let this Advent hope guide us in daily practices of choosing what is good and just and right for all people. This is a faith that dares, even now, in this climate, to light candles of hope, to light candles of peace, of joy, and of love. It was just last month that we saw a tragic thing happening in Pittsburgh, in the synagogue. And here in Concord, many of us gathered together on the next Shabbat on Saturday. And we gathered together at the temple here in the synagogue here in Concord. And we stood in the front lighting candles as the people came to celebrate Shabbat. Hundreds and hundreds of people with single candles of all faiths, of no faith. And that light defied the darkness. And the rabbi invited us in to celebrate Shabbat with the community. This is the light of hope that keeps us moving. This is how we lift up our heads. In solidarity and unity, we stand against hate. And it's also for this reason that we celebrate communion together. The communion is a sacrament It's really a reenactment, if you will, a story of God's promised liberation over the bondage of darkness, over death itself. So to participate in this communion meal is to claim your hope. Grab hold of your hope in the advent of a new day and participate in this co-creation of that day that is surely coming. So people of God, Happy New Year. The kingdom of God is most certainly at hand. Amen.